Hello everyone, and welcome to the Total Warcast. This is episode 3, and I'm your host, Daily, reporting, well, almost live, from the snowy tops of Norway. And today I'm psyched because we have a special episode. Sitting, well, almost next to me on Skype, I have Bunny Poop Cereal from TVC. Introduce yourself.
Hello everyone, I'm one of the administrators of the TWC Steam Group. I'm from Florida, USA, and I've played the Total War series since the first Shogun.
Great. I'm excited to have you on here, and first I'm going to talk about some basic information about the YouTube channel. Yes, we have a YouTube channel now. It's not in use at the moment since I haven't incorporated the segment into the show. Basically what that segment will be about is about videos. Videos about if it's tactics, if it's let's plays or machinimas or something like that, you can submit it and we'll post it and we'll discuss it. So it's a great way to get views on your videos. Also, you can also send it to us and we'll work with it. It's a nice gentleman named Matt on the TVC. That's not his TVC name, but I'm gonna link to his thread where you can ask questions to him and such stuff like that. And everything about this episode, which I talk about, is every information like the threads the whole show. Is in the spoiler, which is in the thread. So, So, that's it for the intro, and we'll get on with the show. Hello everyone and welcome to Forum Frenzy. This time we have two topics we want to discuss with you, me and Bunny, and let's get started. Okay, the first one is which was really popular on the beginning of this week, which I found also quite enjoyable to read, but I didn't post in it, basically because I didn't feel that I had anything to contribute, but now I do. It's the one with where they talk about CA destroying the Total War franchise, which basically original post didn't really say that much, but the eventual discussion did, which I've read quite a lot of, and basically delves in why no modding tools, for example, stuff like that. So yeah, Bunny, you also updated yourself on this. So how do you feel? Do you think that the Creative Assembly is slowly destroying the Total War franchise, which we have become so in love with?
Well, in a business standpoint of view, they're not really destroying the Total War series. I mean, as a company and game developer, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, which is make the best game possible and for the biggest audience that they can attain to. So when it comes to a business perspective, they're doing everything they're supposed to. However, if you look at the other side and at all the Total War veterans, you know, most of them will tell you that CA have changed a lot of their marketing tactics since the first Shogun, and because of that, because the Creative Assembly is focusing into a wider audience instead of the smaller community, then that is why people feel like the Total War series are changing, that it's going to be the end of the Total War series, but in a way, it's not going to be the end of the Total War series.
Well, yeah, I actually agree with a lot of you saying. People can say it's like the end of the Total War franchise as we know it, as a business, I think they're doing pretty well. I think they've marketed Shogun 2 very well, and this is sold. How many do we have any numbers on how much is sold? It's like someone saying that and someone, whatever. It's pretty good from what I've read. And And I don't understand what, I don't know what he means by that. Some of the people talking about it, because it seems like it's grown a kind of hate, because people get nostalgic and like love the feeling which they get from the older games, and which was really open and stuff like that. And I don't know, it's really hard, especially on the modding, topic, because with no modding tools, it's really hard to like make a total conversion and a good one at that. And
oh, definitely.
Yeah, and for you can see at I talked about this last week as well, but with the different mods, it's like it really expands and makes you really delve into the game. Like different mods, for example, you have Darth mod and etc. etc. People play that more than a vanilla game, but I think it's important that we have a vanilla. Like I don't understand why people want to like do a mod right away, like instantly. If you know,
you mean moving into multiplayer right away instead of single player?
No. I don't understand why people want to start modding, mod the game.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Since they've moved to binary code, the games is much harder to mod. But that is the case, and CA really wants for the community to be more involved in the modding of the game. If that was really the case, then they would have released modding tools, but they haven't.
Yeah.
So we can only draw the conclusion that they don't want us to mod the game, since they would be losing money on their DLCs. So what CA is probably planning on doing is releasing all the DLCs first, get as much money out of the game as possible, and then maybe they will release the modding tools or some sort of modding material to the community.
I don't think they're going to release anything, to be honest. But I'm truly a hater of DLCs, especially the ones who comes up I think that the whole game should be unlocked from the beginning. And if they call it DLCs, I really want that to be an expansion, which expands the game to a much larger scale.
Kingdoms is probably a good example to use.
Yeah, that's a excellent good explanation of a expansion. That I would really like to see that in Shogun 2, something like that,
I mean, if you think about it, Kingdoms is no different than Napoleon. Kingdoms was an expansion of the first game that used the same engine and only, you know, added to that. Instead of, you know, one of the things that CA decided to do was call Napoleon a game by itself, when in reality it wasn't, because it was using just about the same amount of units and such things.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's like a really mixed song, but I also felt that Napoleon should have been like half the price or less, and just be an expansion. And I don't know what they felt, that it just went too far, or was it just milking money? I don't know if they felt that they used so much time on it that they had to make a standalone game on it or something like that.
Well, the thing about CA, when it comes, again, a business perspective, you got to look at it, you know, with their eyes. You know, they're all about selling their game to as many people as possible. So whenever you have a new game coming from CA, they're going to tell you that that game is the game that they've always wanted to make, that game is including everything that they've always wanted to dream to include on their games, because they love the Total War series and they understand us. But so that's what they keep telling us with every single new game that comes out. But as it turns out, you know, with Napoleon, it wasn't really any different from Empire. You know, maybe the naval battles were improved a little bit, but you know, when it comes to the AI and such things, it wasn't really the new or they like to call Napoleon the game that Empire was meant to be, when it really wasn't.
Well, it wasn't, basically, because they narrowed it down. If they really wanted to make a Empire which they really wanted to make, that would be include the whole world. I mean, like, of course, that's just making money, and I think that they have his view on things, which is like, money is greener than the truth, and they don't, I mean, it's really, I think it's a really bad way of treating a gaming community and gamers.
Yeah.
Because I think that gaming fans is like one of the most trustful and patient fans out there.
Yeah, and just to add to what you just said, you know, the whole money issue thing is that, you know, even we saw the developer from the Creative Assembly in one of the videos where they're standing in a circle drinking tea or something. You know, and they're discussing when it comes to a decision of either going from an arcade style of play to a more historical, then they're always going to choose the arcade style. And that is why we saw such a distinction between the first games and then the later games, where we saw Empire looking very cartoonish and very different feel to the game mechanics. Simply because of that, I feel all goes back to that business perspective that CA needs to have as a developer.
They're trying to make it a little bit easier for like not hardcore strategy players to enjoy. I think that's like one of the, at least with Shogun 2, I got that feeling a lot.
Oh yeah, I mean that's why we have such a small amount of different types of units. You know, they're trying to streamline and make everything appeal to the average gamer.
Yeah, also, actually on that note, on the like the lot of units, I don't think that Shogun 2 should have had a lot more units. I think it's just, maybe a more common folk like Ashigaru, I don't know what that would be, but I feel like, I think that it's because it's Japan, and it's such a small area land, and like the culture is the same almost. It's like really, it's just a one country. I don't think you can have so many different units.
Because I definitely agree with you. I mean, CA really got lucky that they chose such a perfect setting that, you know, doesn't really have an extreme, huge, wide range of different types of units. Whereas if you look at Empire, you're looking at an entire Western of Europe. But what I do would have to argue against that is that, okay, let's keep the samurai and the Ashigaru, but even if I'm playing a different clan, it's just different colors. You know, maybe there's really no culture on the game. It's all the same culture, just a different color. They could take a samurai, for example, but and change his armor to look unique to that clan. But, you know, that requires more manpower and resources.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I can see what where you're coming from. But I feel that you have to, I don't know. For me, I feel that you get a really large choice in Total Shogun 2 for different things. Not that large deal as in Empire. But for example, if you want to try to, okay, I want to Christianize. I want to Christianize the whole of Japan. That could be one of your goals. Which is, I think it's one thing I want to do, but I haven't gotten around to do it, try it yet, because I feel that's like one of the largest challenges, and that's like really delve into trying to, make the whole of Japan Christian. And that's an example of things you can choose from to do with your campaign. It's not, I think it's really up to one person to decide what they can gain out of Shogun 2. If they just want to rush through the game as fast as possible and get Kyoto and win, I think that's of course they will get the feeling that they didn't complete the game. Easily tired of the game if they do it like that, if they just rush through it. And I think that's one of the major flaws of some people playing the Total War game, is that they don't want to try new things. They like want to play it safe. They want to win. I think it's like Shogun 2 introduces a lot more ways to play, in my eyes.
Well, there's two different types of people. There's the ones where the means justify the ends, and then the other ones where the end justify the means. which means that you have the type of players that blitz through a campaign just so that they can win the game and feel that accomplishment. But then there's the other types of people, which I guess applies more to the Total War veterans. They're the ones who instead of just winning the game, they're the ones who care about how do you get to that destination? How do you really get the satisfaction out of every single battle? And yeah.
Yeah, I agree totally. oh, sorry. Little bit cough there. Yeah, do you want to cut it here or move on?
Yeah.
Something we talked for a long time. Yeah, moving on. Now, the next one is a little bit controversial in my eyes. It's the one about anti-TVC clan on the TVC multiplayer section. Now, basically, this guy have a really negative stance on this large clan, which is now TVC clan, and it has 700 members, right, Bunny?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do agree with some of his viewpoints, but I also disagree with others.
Yeah. Does it have over 700 members now?
Yeah, we have around 750 members.
Oh, Christ, that's a lot. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you agree some with him and disagree. Do you want to, like, point out the things that you disagree and agree with?
Oh, definitely. One of the things I agree with is basically the main argument, which is that we basically steamroll through all the other clans because of sheer numbers. I mean, I do agree that CA made a bad decision when it came to the multiplayer, you know, clan competition, because I mean, it doesn't take a genius to realize that the biggest clan is going to have the most points on a map and it's going to get the most regions. However, I disagree when he comes and says that, you know, because we're so big, we don't know each other, and also that because we are so big that we don't really care about anyone or anything. I mean, we still have a sense of identity. We have a mon. I mean, we stand by TWC.
Some of us do, of course. The problem with being so many, in my eyes, sorry for cutting you off, but my problem is that when you have so many, you have so many different people, and of course you have so many different people, 750 members, that's gonna be problematic because you meet people who's asshole, you're gonna meet people who are campers, you're gonna meet people who like alt F4s, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with you. However, the thing about posts like his is that he really generalizes TWC as being one person, when TWC is full of all kinds of people from all countries and different religions. I mean, I consider myself a veteran since I played Shogun 1. And I've played all the multiplayers for most of the games except the Napoleon, because I didn't buy it. But you know, for them to say that we're all alt F4 users and things like that, that seems very biased.
Yeah, yeah, like he's being a little bit condescending. Is that the right word? No.
Yeah, I guess in a way.
Yeah, my English is like, blah. I don't know. He judges us everyone on based on what he experienced with a few of us. Now, yeah. I have to agree that we have assholes amidst our memberships. Like many of our members have a bad sportsmanship, and I don't like that at all. I actually look down upon people who alt F4s, like do stuff like that. But in my eyes, I think that we can't, because the way CA made the system, we can't actually penalize people. We can't talk to people in the way that you might do with when it's 10 or 12 people in a clan. And that's
exactly.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line there, and actually I think that's draws a pretty like end to his argument, which he talks about, because we are so many people and how the hell can you complain when you know how many people we are.
Oh yeah, I do agree. But also, I would have to disagree with the decision that CA made when it comes to points. I feel that if you do lose a battle, then you should lose the points that you would have otherwise gained if you won that battle. And that is one way to even out the battlefield.
Sorry, I'm a little bit outdated on the topic, but so you're saying that you can't lose points when you first gain them.
Exactly. Oh. Which is why bigger clans get all the points.
I thought it was in the way that because I remember I was looking at the multiplayer campaign map. And I saw some clan which was right below us on one territory. And I thought it was like that if they won one, you lost one. That the whole territory was worth this a whole lot of points. And you gained so much and the other one lost one. Because it's like a general gained up. I thought it was something like that, but... Oh, yeah, then I understand some that the bigger clans. But isn't it that's why we have tiers, different groups? So that we can... Like, everything, like, the smaller clans will battle the smaller clans, and the huge ones will be on top and, like, battle each other.
As a consequence of, you know, the system, that is how things will play out. However, I don't think that was the initial intent that CA had. But unfortunately, that's how it's going to play out, simply because of the numbers of winning, you know, are going to overpower, you know, smaller clans.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, I can, it totally, I understand the way he thinks that it destroys the clan image, which many have, that you are a tight-knitted group. And actually, my original view on a clan is that it's a small group of players who knows each other and communicates really well. But I think this is a really good way for new players who's not really engaged in a clan, which is not really serious. I think that's for them. I think it's really a good way to engage in and come, for example, into the Steam group chat of TVC, which is like often populated, but right now it's not that much lately, but usually it's a lot of people. I think that's a really good way for new players to like get to know people, find people to play with. I said this also in that thread. And, yeah, I think that's a good way for new players, at least, to have that.
Yeah, the Steam chat is a really good way to start socializing with others. We started a new initiative where every Sunday, it's an event where everyone has the ability to get in that chat room and start, you know, teaming up and talking about strategies. I mean, we've really given everyone in the group the tools, you know, to socialize. And if they want to do it, they can go ahead. And if they don't want to, then they don't have to. You know, we're not a military-style clan where we tell people what to do. You know, this is a community, not a clan, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's also. Now, I'm not going to delve into the clan... what a clan is and what a clan isn't. I'm not going to delve into that, but yeah, I also like that way that we also like that because I'm not a really big on multiplayer, and I really, for me, 1v1s, I'm not really attracted to that. I don't know why. It's just something that beats me up. But 2v2s, 3v3s, where I talk with someone, that's really enjoyable for me, and I really love that. So I love the way that I can easily find a 2v2 partner, or 3, or 4, or the 3 more people to play with. I really like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The higher numbers means, you know, more people will be available to play with you, so yeah.
Do you want to call it that? Or do you want to have more to say? Because I'm done.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, guys. We are done with the Forum Frenzy for today. I think it... Oh, long one. Anyhow, next up is Tactical Terror, and we'll see you after this quick musical tape, which I put into Audacity. So, see you soon. Yes, and it's time for Tactical Terror. This time we're actually going to delve into multiplayer for the first time ever, since, yeah, we've been missing out on that, so I think many of you are going to enjoy this. We're going to talk about turtlers and campers, and first I'm going to explain what it is. Well, basically it's a person who, when he starts the mode where he puts out his units, he puts himself in tightly, for his, often in a square where he defends all sides with strong defensive units, and he puts, for example, artillery or ranged units in the middle, for example, bow, and then just waits for the opponent to make a move. And as people know, a defensive stance is better than an offensive because you can hold out and stuff like that. Yeah, and we're going to talk about, first we're going to talk about why people might do it, and why that can be appealing to some people to do. And yeah, Bunny, you want to take it from here? Like,
of course. So why do people do it? You know, some people say that, you know, they're cowards and they're too afraid to move up their units and they want to be on their safe zone, right? But then if you look at the campers who actually do it, for them, they don't look at it that way. For them, it makes perfect sense to turtle because it's a perfect defensive position. You are in control of your own territory and you know exactly what's going to happen. So turtlers are defensive-minded people who feel they have an advantage if they turtle on a game. So to the indermant mentality, they're not doing anything wrong. They're just doing the best they possibly can to win a game, which is the objective of every game.
But for me, the problem is that if they do this, I think they're destroying for everyone else because they have to wait for the other guy to come. And everyone knows, a game of Total War, a land battle, can last for pretty long. And if they do this, it's going to be even longer, so people get pissed, especially. Well, I do that myself, and I get really panicked because, okay, I'm not going to sit around and wait here. I have to attack, and that really bugs me some. But
yeah, it really is bugging if you don't know how to deal with the campers. You know, so it is going to prolong the battle. I mean, I've heard some people in the forums say they've had 3-hour-long battles with campers. I mean, that is really just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's Fallen Hun. Oh my god, you have to have like a really, really, really good patience. I remember he talking about it in the chat.
Yeah, in the chat. Oh, that was very, very special.
Yeah, actually, I remember I met a turtler once. I actually won that battle. And basically we're going to talk about like tactics going to deal with, but I felt that I got a little bit panicked because I did not know at all what to do because I'm new to the multiplayer scene and I heard about it. I've seen a lot of Total War battles from Rome and stuff like that. And I did not really know what to do, but luckily I won that one. And we're going to delve into that topic right now, right? You want to go on with tactics, how to beat a turtler or turtler/camper.
Oh, okay. There's various ways to beat a camper. In fact, after this, you should have no trouble beating one. And in fact, you should probably look forward to fighting these campers that are quite easily beat if you use the right strategies. Now, the first strategy, which is the one that I use the most, is to have heavy cavalry in my army. I like to have different types of units because it enables me to really accommodate myself to the battle. If I have archers, you know, I use them effectively the best way possible at the beginning of a battle, starting that, you know, initial skirmish, or, you know, just while the armies are engaging, I use them to pepper down arrows at the enemy to make them rout. Now, in order to win against a camper, you have one of the biggest advantages, which is territory. You have all this area. You can maneuver your troops around his army in order to encircle him. Now, one of the major complaints that I keep hearing is that, well, I can't move my troops around because he's using the map to his advantage. Not only is he on a hill, but the map restrictions are letting him be on the edge of the map, and I can go all the way around him in a 360 circle. Now, what I say to this is, well, okay, the first thing you should not do is stay put and move slowly. What you need to do is move your army together as quickly as possible towards his lines. You're going to want to have your heavy cavalry spread out on the wedge formation, and the wedge formation is critical because you're going to want to punch through his lines since he is, of course, using his front infantry to keep your troops away from his archers, which are probably behind, or catapults, or whatever he's using as ranged. Now, you're going to want to move your unit together as fast as possible towards his front lines and basically just punch through at one time as hard and as fast as possible, because you have an advantage of melee. Since he's using a lot of ranged units, you are probably going to punch through. Remember to use the abilities of your units and your general. Now, that's how you counter the camper that's on a hill on the side of the map, which is the hardest one to deal with. Now, the easier one to deal with is the one that is like in the middle of the map or in a forest, and it's still doing a turtle formation. What you're going to want to do is quickly take your troops and surround him as much as possible. If you can, have a troop around his entire circle, you know, in the outside area. Once your troops are ready to move in, what you do, then this takes a lot of skill to move your troops individually as fast as possible to charge into his circle. Usually, if you're playing in small funds, he doesn't have enough units to complete the entire circle. So you're going to be able to have some cavalry or unit or infantry that manage to go through a gap, and that is essential to winning that battle. But what you're going to want to do is take all those units and make them run towards the middle. And that will, you know, send him, you know, sooner or later, his routes are going to start routing to your superior melee cavalry and infantry units. And that is how you beat a camper.
Well, great. I'm nodding the whole time. So I'm totally agree. Totally understand what you're saying, and I'm just trying to soak it all in because I don't really know how to beat a turtle camper. When I won the game, I just did as you said, surrounded and attacked from different sides. And what happened for me was that he attacked, like he selected all his melee units and like attacked my front lines of my infantry, and then I attacked from behind, so my my cavalry actually charged into the backs of his melee and, of course, arrow units. And that really... Well, yeah.
That was a turning point, right?
Yeah, a turning point. And then his army just broke and fled. If he hadn't, like, sent his rest of his units into the fray, like, into the battle and just kept them there, I don't know how it would have went, but...
Yeah, that's very true.
But you seem like you met a lot of turtlers. How many do you, how many normal battles do you have? How many turtlers do you meet, like, in difference?
Well, turtlers are so common that probably 2 out of 3 battles you're going to encounter a turtler.
That much? So that means that actually, I played not that many battles, 1v1s at least, but that many, huh?
Yeah, it's common because turtlers, in a way, do have an advantage over the other player. But if you have your army that is made to counter turtlers from the beginning, then you're going to be the one who has an advantage over turtlers.
I would think the rocket units, because of the area effect damage, would decimate. If you can, like, attack, and in the middle of it, you can just send the rocketeers in and just bomb. Have you tried that?
The problem with that is that you're already spending resources on this rocket. The problem is that in order for the strategy to work, you need to spend all your money on fast, heavy cavalry and the best heavy infantry units that you can find to break through his lines. He wants you to use rockets. He wants you to use archers. He wants you to play his game, but instead you want him to play your game.
Oh, okay. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. So yeah, great. Actually, I'm really grateful that we could actually get in a multiplayer segment here, because we like people have requested it, and I think actually that's the one thing people want to talk about. So yeah, great. Do you have anything more to add, or do you want to move on?
Yeah, I guess, you know, for all those of you who are having trouble with the campers, you know, just practice. Do custom battles against the computer. Try use heavy, you know, infantry. Cavalry, I feel, is the key to winning almost every single battle. Because of Daily, you said before that you won that battle because your cavalry came in from behind and routed the enemy, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, you don't really have to kill your enemy. As long as he routes, then you basically win your battle.
Yeah.
So cavalry gives you the ability to do that. And since Shogun is so morale intense, much more so than previous titles, I feel that cavalry is the most superior unit in the battlefield when it comes to winning your battle.
Yeah, people actually complained about cavalry being useless in these games, but obviously this is wrong.
Oh, it's absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Great. I think... Do you have anything more to add, or do you want to move on?
No, that's it. Just keep cavalry in mind.
Okay, great. Okay, that's our first multiplayer tactical corner. We are going to move on, and the next up is Mod Corner. So thank you for listening on Tactical Terror, and I'll see you in a bit. And now it's time for Mod Corner, the little silent, well, little cozy place where we talk about the mods. Well, actually, it's not a really small part of the podcast anymore, because it got more, on TVC, it got more views than the Shogun 2 general discussion. So, yeah. Today we have two mods I want to talk about. So, you ready, Bunny?
Ready.
Ready. Okay, first one is all-in-one mod, which is posted by Toon, Total War. Basically, this mod is a gathering of a lot of mods. For example, you have Darth mod in it, for example, and you have... it's a lot of good ones. It's blood mod made by Toon Total War. You have, for example, Unicard mod. I'm just taking random ones out now. Shogun 2 music mod by Brigadier Graham. You also have alternative loading screens, stuff like that. So it's like a really, and also Darth mod, which is, everyone knows. I talked about that in the last episode. Everyone should check that out. Just remember that you install a mod. It doesn't... multiplayer doesn't work anymore. Is that right, Bunny?
That's a good question. It really depends on the mod that you're installing.
Yeah, okay. I think that if you install this one, including Dolph mod, it's not going to work. I would assume.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So just remember that's a warning. And also remember that if you do it wrong and you... remember that you might corrupt the sound. So, like, using mods is on your own, risk. Yeah, your own risk.
So, don't forget to make a copy of your main folder before you guys start copying files.
Yeah, basically, good. Yeah, really important. Because the mods are made by... It's not released by CA, and so if you fuck up the game, it's all on you. All-in-one mod, check that out, really good. Now, next one is Sakura, which is a mod which main aim is for historical accuracy and to create an enhanced campaign and battle experience while getting rid of fantasy elements created by Creative Assembly. Yes, basically, I'm going to talk more about this mod in the next episode. basically because I'm going to have an interview with one of the developers, Wiz from Denmark. So we're actually going to have two accents on the show next time, so that's going to be great. I hope that his English is not better than mine. If not, that's going to be embarrassing. Hope that so that's everyone knows that. That's going to have more information about Sakura in the next episode. And do you have anything else, Bunny, to talk about? Do you want to like delve into Sakura more, or do you want to?
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about Sakura for a little bit. I feel like this is just the kind of mod that we start seeing after every new Total War series comes out. Which is great, you know, because CA takes a lot of those arcade elements, and then the modders, of course, they want more historical accuracy. And it's a very cool thing because it makes the game come alive. For a lot of people, it's why the game is worth buying. It's because of mods like this that really add another layer of playing elements to it, and it adds countless hours of playing time.
Yeah, actually, when was the game released again, if I may ask? The Shogun 2, was it 15th of March? Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Yes, it was, yeah. This post was made on February the 23rd, which means that it was, I remember it popping up in when the demo was released. So, but these guys, like, immediately, they know what the, like, they know how things go. They know what the initial game is gonna be, like the vanilla game. And they decide, well, let's just already, they make a proposal, try to hire modders, let's just try our best. Like already, like that early. And I like that. I have a little bit problem with that. And I that's like really nitpicking because I was, I don't know, but basically what I feel is wrong is that even before the game is released, people feel the need to, like, mod it. But of course I've changed my mind after, like, seeing, I think it's just basically because they want, they know the final game, they know what it's gonna be about, and they want to, already know it's gonna be historical inaccurate.
Well, they probably have a good idea of how the game is going to look like based on, you know, screenshots and videos provided by CA. In addition to things like having no blood, you know, those are really essentials, I feel, you know.
Yeah, I feel that if you want it realistic, and I'm talking, like, I think that's it, this game would be, like, one of the bloodiest ever, because if you imagine limbs flying off and how many liters of blood a body contains, it's gonna be like a red field.
I do agree in a way that it's very bloody. However, you know, if you think about like the katanas and such, you know, they're made for for slashing, you know, much more so than like the Roman gladius, you know, for
stabbing,
you know, which is used differently, right?
Yeah, but of course, yeah, but I feel like Rome didn't have blood at all, either.
I think we only saw blood in kingdoms, did we?
Yeah, but that was just the bodies of them, and they all looked the same. It's like the whole body, like, were blooded. I'm talking like blood on the ground. I think that it could be great, and also, but I think it's a problematic, I think it's hard, and I would see that because people then really could see what it is, because like they talked about, I read some history about a old battle, I don't know if it was Roman times or Greek times or whatever, but what they said that they were like knee deep in blood. It was so like a slaughter of a town or something. And like that stuff like that, and I think it's like hard to, you can't actually make a realistic game.
Well, we know that, you know, most of us know that CA didn't release blood because of the fact that they would have to change the rating on the game, and that would decrease sales. So when you see things like this and people adding blood to it, that is a great idea.
Yeah, but on Medieval 2, it was, what kind of rating did that get?
I'm not really sure.
Is it the same as Shogun 2? I would assume that it is.
I think it was rated T for teen.
And which is the same as, sure, I don't know, because I just buy my games off Steam or something, so I don't.
Oh yeah, it is actually rated T14.
Shogun 2 as well.
Oh, Shogun 2, I believe so.
Yeah, so if they added blood in the same way as, well, I would assume they would go for the same medieval too, but maybe they didn't make it look right or something, I don't know. I would, yeah. I feel that they should have some, because it looks kinda, I think it would look pretty epic with, if you zoom in and look at some of the animations where they stick like a blade through something, someone.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, if it was personally me, I would freaking have pools of blood and make it raining down blood everywhere.
My units will bathe in the blood of the
enemy. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and they will wear their heads on the pikes to battlefield, yeah. I think that,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You could actually have like a mod where your guys are like the most evilest scum throughout the whole universe, and like they wear the shy children of the enemies as hats or something. but.
I mean, you know, even just watching blood, you know, it makes people, you know, it makes people excited. Mm. You know, most people are watching blood in movies and such, like in Hollywood.
Yeah, it depends. If it's done right, I think it's appealing. But if it's done wrong, for example, with many of... Yeah, it just puts one off, I think. It depends on the mount and where you put it in and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly. That does depend on preference.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was today's... you have anything more to add? We've been talking for a long time now.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, great. That was today's Mod Corner, and after this break we will be back for a quickie, and then we'll, be right back. And here we are on the last part of the show, which is our, well, closing, where we're closing off. I want to thank Bunny Poop Cereal to be on the show. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. like this podcast has just flown past. I can't believe how fast we did it. It was great. It's not that it was pretty long, but, feel that we had a good conversation going. A little bit information. Like, we talked about everything, on the Forum Frenzy, we have Tactical Terror, and we had the Mod Corner. I want to talk about the YouTube channel, so everybody's aware of it still, even though I said it in the intro. I want to everybody to make people aware that we have it now. So it would be nice if those of you who had have something they want to add, for example, a submission or stuff like that, please send it to the Gmail, which I'm posting in thread, or get in contact with Matt, which I'm also going to link to his thread where you get to his user. Next week, I would want everyone to tune in, because we're going to have an interview with one of the guys who's developing Sakura. And yes, that's actually all that we have for you this... it's night for me. I know. What's the time for you, Bunny?
It's actually afternoon. It's 6:52.
Yeah, it's like 1 a.m. here. So, yeah, we have to say goodnight. Well, I'm going to say goodnight. You can say good evening or something. I don't know what you guys say. Yeah, okay. Thank you for listening. And this was Total Warcast. And I'll see you next time. Ah, yeah, okay. Guys, I totally forgot something. Bunny was really nice of me reminding me of this after I recorded the outro. So, yeah. For looking at the channel, you have to go to youtube.com/user/TotalWarcast. Just as it's spelled in... just as I say it, Total Warcast in one word, and then you'll join it. Also, all, like the thread, the official Total Warcast thread on TVC, that's every information is there. It's going to be like really big neon sign saying this is the Total Warcast YouTube channel. Also, I will also have a large link to Matthew, which is the YouTube guy. And yeah, basically that's it. And thank you for showing up, Bunny, for this show. And we'll see you next time.